Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word.
So shall I have an
And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. We continue here in Psalm 119, looking at the law of God and what that means to a believer. And again, I hope you've noticed that there's no trace so far through the psalm of looking at the law of God in the life of a believer who doesn't like it but has to do it, of an arbitrary law that's put upon someone that keeps them from doing the fun things in life. There's nothing in here about a cold-hearted, puritanical spirit that hates to see someone enjoying themselves, as the common caricature is. All of those things tend to be put at the foot or at the account of God's law by people who just don't want to be under anyone's law. That's not what God's law is. That's not what God's law does. And to think that God's law goes against grace in the New Testament shows an ignorance of the New Testament. And generally, most people understand that. To think that God's law goes against grace and love in the Old Testament also shows an ignorance of the Old Testament, particularly the book of Psalms. But sadly, that's far more common in today's church. Whenever anyone asks you, what is God's law? You say you like God's law, you follow the Old Testament law. Isn't that cold, harsh, unloving, the God of the Old Testament, that mean old God that's looking to judge and condemn people? Point them to Psalm 119. Most of the Psalms are good. Psalm 119 particularly shows the heart of love for God and how that shows love for God's law as well. Now, getting into the actual part here that we're looking at, I want you to see, again, we've got a this, then that, or this and that kind of structure all the way through this section. It begins, "Let your mercies come also to me, Jehovah, your salvation according to your word." Now, here immediately in this section, we see God's word established as salvation and mercy. Don't see any hint of, I don't want you to have fun, or you're going to be my slave, or anything mean, anything ugly. God's law is a law of salvation. His word is a word of covenant. And we'll see covenant all through this section. Because you have done, I will do. Because I do, you will do. All the way through this section of the psalm. Let your mercies come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Why? So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Now, the immediate thing that comes to thought here would be someone, a human being, who reproaches you either for trying to be holy or telling you, look, God condemns you because you're a sinner. In either of these cases, we see that God's word gives us an answer. It's God's word that we follow that brings us mercy. That it's God's law, God's word in covenant that allows us to find mercy before him at all, to find salvation. More to the point, we can show in God's word that we have mercy from him. And so those who try to tempt us into despair and say, you're a sinner and God has no part of you, well, we have an answer for him. Now, as covenant children, there will be someone who accuses us to our face. There's a class of beings that, I was going to say their job, but that's not quite right. What they do is to accuse you at night, in the darkness, when you're tempted, and say that God can't love you. You're too bad. In your wickedness, how can the Holy One of Israel look upon you? And I think that's the one, the reproach that the psalmist is really looking at. Not the people you run across, but those spirits that speak to you in your heart when you're down. But when you know the word of God, you see his salvation is according to his promise. And so you have a ready answer for any who accuse you. That's what Satan means, the one who reproaches. the accuser. Why will we have that ready answer? For I trust in your word. God's word is salvation. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Now here we see that truth, doctrine, knowledge, is not opposed to love, mercy, and kindness. They go together. Don't take the word of truth out of my mouth, because that's where the promises of the covenant come from. They lie in the ordinances of God. So what's the answer again here for God's person? So I shall keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Again, here the concept that true freedom is found in living according to God's law. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. We have the word of the King of Kings in our mouth, and speaking to kings certainly shouldn't be a problem. And I will another thing to look at there is that God's word is applicable to modern civil government. If we're to speak God's word before kings and not be ashamed. There are many things. Well, we'll leave that be for now. This is a psalm meditation, not a sermon. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Again, the love of God, the delight of the Christian in God's law and God's word. In my hands I will also lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Now, the phrase, I will lift up my hands, means I will worship. I will lift up in praise. I will lift up in sacrifice, in offering. So God's law here, his commandments, his precepts, his statutes, are all part and parcel of the covenant. And it's the covenant that brings us salvation. It's the mercy of God that lets us even look at the law of God as something that doesn't accuse us. It doesn't condemn us. But it's an expression of the God who loves us. So now as we sing this song, singing 119F, let's try to joy in the word of God and the salvation that it brings to us. Again, 119F.